let's jump into Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Ephesians 5. And I'm going to read the first two verses of chapter 5. And we're going to break them down together. It says, therefore, be followers. Everyone say followers. Imitators of God. Everyone say imitators. As beloved children. Say children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So we need to be followers, say followers. We need to, another translation says imitators, say imitators, of God as beloved children, say children. So I have a youngest daughter, her name's Everly. She's 9 years old, getting ready to turn 10 next month. And I have to approve all of her downloads. And I noticed that the other day she downloaded an app that said birthday countdown. So you know she's getting ready for the big 1-0. And Everly, if you haven't seen her before, and I'll post a picture on the gram later, she is me from here down. So imagine me with a wig on or imagine her without a beard. That's Everly. And sometimes she's looking at, and she has my eyes, I mean to a T, and sometimes she's looking at me and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, I'm gonna win because I gave you those eyes. So you keep on looking at me like that, but I'm the OG with that look. Anybody have kids and you know what I'm talking about? So Everly is like, and matter of fact, even sometimes there's some things going on in the house as a family, and she'll mouth off and she'll say something. And deep down on the inside, over the years, I've been like, well, actually, I low-key agree with you. I can't say it. I ain't trying to get in trouble with Julie, but girl, I know why you think that, because we obviously have the same mind. I'm just being real. And so Everly is like my little mini-me. And the other thing about children, so she started doing this thing recently because I pace around all the time. Anybody else? Like, I'm always moving. I've been like this since I was a kid. I got in trouble for it in school. I'm just always moving, always moving. And even when I'm on the phone, I'm like constantly pacing around. It's just like, that is my default mode. I don't want to be sitting. I don't want to lay down. I want to be up and walking around. Matter of fact, last summer I went to Italy because I'm doing this heritage research for the book that I'm releasing this October. And when I got to Italy and I saw all the Italians just mindlessly walking around on their phones, I was like, my people, it's genetic. I get it now. We all do this. Because even preaching, the whole camera team every Sunday just goes like this. I can't stay still. They're just like this. And that's the way I've always been. So my daughter, Everly, I noticed that she just started following me around the house like this, right behind me. So then I'll be on the phone. I turn around. Here's Everly. I think she's trolling me, to be honest with you. But the thing about it is kids imprint like little ducks because they're impressionable and they imitate. That's why the Bible says that we must, in order to get into the kingdom, become like children, because we must become impressionable. We must, oh, come on. You get what I'm saying? Like, and matter of fact, so much of us as an adult is like, well, let me see if I agree with this guy. And let me see if I think that this church is blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, but to be impressionable is the way that you get into the kingdom, which means that you are able to be moldable and that you can mimic the one that you're following. And so with Everly following me around all day, it's like, I often wondered if I was sedentary, would she lie down next to me? You get what I'm saying? Like if I was always seated, would she sit down next to me? So there's something about children. How many children of the 80s, particularly the men, remember this? I have the... Okay, somebody right now just got a flashback. Yeah, there's some guy, some random guy over here was just like, me. I have the... That's He-Man, Masters of the Universe. He used to raise up that sword and say, I have the... I would do that and just smash my sister with my plastic sword. She was Skeletor. Bam! I'm like, Mom, I helped you. But here's the thing. When you're a child, how many of you remember acting like the Power Rangers, acting like a superhero? Do you remember that? Okay, hold that thought. Because he's saying, be imitators of God as beloved children. Are you following me? And walk in love as Christ walked in love. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul delivers this very powerful message right off the jump, and he's trying to help them understand the essence of imitating God. Now, another translation says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God. Remember this phrase, be ye therefore followers of God. There's much more significance than you can imagine. And here, the word followers is in Greek. That's the original text. And we're all going to become Greek scholars together today in one sitting. It's translated, and it's the word mimetes. Everybody say it with me, mimetes. Oh, y'all are good. You're a Greek scholar. Mimetes, which carries this very profound meaning of imitating or mimicking, mimetes, mimicking someone else's actions. So the concept of imitation or mimicking, it's not foreign in the New Testament. This word mimetes is actually used multiple times, even by the Apostle Paul. And I want to look at that. So Paul himself, he employs this word mimetes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. You can write that down in your notes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he uses mimetes again. And he begs the Corinthians, and he says, follow my example. In other words, act like me as I act like Jesus. Observe me as I behold him. Live like me as I try to live like him. Does this make sense? Try to replicate me as I replicate him. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Then similarly, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul encouraged the Thessalonians and Thessalonica. He says, imitate him and his companions, aiming to emulate their actions. So watch this. Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, which is Ephesians 5, and he says, mimetes. Then he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he says, mimetes. Then he talks to Thessalonica and says the same thing. And so that means there's a very important mystery that we have to understand and unlock in order to get the fullness of this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians when you're doing proper exegesis of the scriptures, because it wasn't written in American English. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:16, he begs them, act like me. Wait a second. I thought we were supposed to act like Christ. Why would the Apostle Paul tell them, act like me as I act like Christ? Follow me, mimetes me as I mimetes. Why would he say that? Let me tell you. Because the people in that region wanted a church without a pastor and called it a Bible study. A church without a pastor is a church without accountability. They wanted to transmit information to each other, but information is what is translated when you listen to a message, but transformation is what occurs when you're accountable to the messenger. Oh, ain't nobody. Come on, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, y'all can talk back to me now. You know that, right? I know it was quiet in your church, but you could say an amen. You could say hallelujah. You could say preach it, preacher. You could do whatever you got to do to get, but just don't be mean. So let me say this, a church without a pastor is a Bible study, and there's a lot of people that want these low or no accountability environments where they tell you everything they know about Scripture. But what Paul was saying is follow me as I follow Christ, because he was trying to help them understand that God has human delegates, and these human delegates shouldn't be deleted, because we get a revelation of him when we see them. Now, I know I'm not completely like Christ yet, but Jesus himself said, blessed are those who believe and yet they don't see. So you cannot see God, but you can see me. And so the burden on me as a leader is to become more like God, so that when you see me that you can see, you understand the one that you can't see, because I'm further ahead on a journey than you to become like him. So follow Mike as Mike follows Christ. And so it's not just about Jesus. It's about the leaders that he has as a visible representation of himself. Does this make sense? Because a lot of people don't want leaders, but when you delete the leader, you eliminate the image bearer of the one that they're following. Is this too deep or are you with me? Are you here with me? And so I think, now why do we do this? Well, because a pastor hurt me. Yeah, but that pastor was doing a bad impression of Jesus. Oh, okay. Then it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul encourages the Thessalonians to imitate him and his companions. So what does that mean? That means that God raises up human leaders, but then he also raises up companions around them, because every companion represents a revelation of another way to see Jesus in that situation. Okay, hold on, because I know I'm going over your heads. You might look at me and say, you know what? I can't identify with Mike because he's a married male and I'm a single female. But guess what? I got some companions here in V1 Church that are single females doing an imitation of Christ in that season. And so follow them as they follow Jesus. It's not just me, it's me and my companions. You need a pastor and you need a crew, because the crew gives a revelation for you. Y'all see what I'm saying? Every situation is another opportunity to get a revelation about who Jesus can be in that situation. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Okay, watch this. It goes deeper. The word mimetes, say it again, mimetes. It's not exclusive to just Paul's letters. It also appears in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Let me read it. Here, believers are instructed to remember their leaders. If you're watching online right now, I love the fact that you have a broadcast, but a broadcast without leaders is not biblical. I know it got real quiet on the internet. Did y'all hear that? Because a broadcast is how you receive information, but a broadcast plus submission to leaders is how you receive transformation. Transformation. And we live in this era where you can get so much information that we've actually created a whole bunch of Christians that want information without accountability. You know who that is? Hitler. It's not about what you know, it's about what you're accountable to. And people are seeking out low or no accountability. So first of all, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember your leaders and then follow their faith. Follow their faith. So in other words, faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. So they're having something revealed to them by faith. And so you have to follow their faith. Isn't that crazy to think about? Follow some other human's faith? See how quiet it gets? Because we're Americans. America. Did you hear that eagle just screech right now in the background? Listen, you know, the Apostle Paul got to write his books of the Bible. I wish that I got permission to write first Americans, second Americans. Y'all would be getting three letters minimum. Third Americans. We don't want leaders. There's something about the way that we're wired for extreme independence. We don't even want relationships with other people. And I get it, because we've been so hurt and wounded, but we cannot take the Bible and conform it to American cultural thinking. We must be conformed to the Bible. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's it being renewed to? The kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of this earth. And so he's saying, remember your leaders and follow their faith. Follow Eddie's faith. Follow Exica's faith. Follow Chase's faith. Like, that's a crazy statement. And then consider the fruitfulness of their lives. Now, I didn't go into detail in the other services about this, but I do now because I feel the Spirit on this. Look at this phrase, especially for the students, the ones who are trying to learn right now, the disciples. Consider the fruitfulness of their life. Why would Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, have to say that? Consider the fruitfulness of their life. I'll tell you why. Because fruit doesn't lie. fruit doesn't lie. It doesn't matter what you think about my method. You can talk about my method, but examine my fruit. It doesn't matter if you don't know how I got to the conclusion I got to. You might have taken a different journey, but examine the fruit. So you can't judge a Christian. Judge not lest ye be judged, but you can judge the fruit of that Christian. Ah! Judge the fruit. And so what probably was happening is the apostles were creating these structures and being hugely successful in the kingdom. And people are like, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. And so whoever wrote Hebrews had to say, hey, remember your leaders because you're forgetting them. And then consider the fruit of their life because fruit doesn't lie. Come on, somebody. I felt Jehovah sassy on that one. Because listen, all day long, people can say, well, you know, I don't think they're doing it right. Yeah, but what's the fruit of what I'm doing? Or sometimes people can be self-righteous and say, oh, the way I'm doing it is right, but the fruit is wrong. There's something about that there. Paul's choice of mimetes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. So now we're going to go back. So we just took a journey through the New Testament, and we're going to go back because when you're trying to rightly divide the scriptures, one of the ways that you do that is you cross-reference it with other scriptures. Does this make sense? We just did two things and we're about to do the third. Number one, we went to the original language, which was Greek, and specifically an archaic Greek, mimetes. Number two, we cross-referenced it with other instances where this shows up in New Testament scripture. And number three, the last thing we're going to do for this one is we're going to look at historic context. In other words, what did the word mimetes mean to those who would have heard it? Because that helps unlock the true meaning of this verse. And this will blow your mind. It's profound. The way that they heard mimetes, okay, let me back up. Some Gen Z right now is literally going to have a panic attack when I say this. YouTube didn't always exist. I remember as a grown adult, I didn't get a cell phone until I was a grown adult. And it didn't have a color screen. And it didn't play videos. And the only game on it was called Snake. And that phone was indestructible. I know when you drop your iPhone, your $2,000 iPhone, it shatters in pieces. This one, we would run it over and still be able to make a phone call. I'm an OG. But let me just tell you, for entertainment, nowadays, we watch, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, etc. And that's how we are entertained. In this ancient time, they did not have that form of entertainment. And so what they would do is they would frequent plays and they would go and watch plays. And so when they heard the word mimetes, that is, okay, this is crazy. That is a word that's used to describe an actor or an actress playing the part of a character and how well they can do the impression of the character that they're playing. So you would go watch them on a stage and they would put on a costume and they would play a familiar character and then they would have to talk like that character, walk like that character. I mean, if you go to Disney, you meet the character and they have to look like the character, sound like the character. Do you get what I'm saying? So mimetes is about how good of an impression can you do? The first time I ever went to Jamaica, I was at an all-inclusive and they had entertainment. And the entertainment was a Michael Jackson impersonator. And I came down there and I watched for 5 minutes and then I had an epiphany. I said, Tupac is still alive. Elvis is still alive. And that is Michael Jackson right there. He faked his death and he went to Jamaica. And who could blame him? If I faked my death, I would be Jamaican, let me tell you. I love it. So I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking to myself, he sounds like Michael Jackson. He looks like he had the hair. I mean, he did the nose job. He did like the plastic. I mean, like this dude was committed to the point where I was like, now where's Pac? Where's your homie Pac? Bring him out, dear mama. And so the thing about it is this though, that's mimetes. because of course he's not Michael Jackson, but he sings like him. He talks like him. He walks like him. He carries his body like him. And over years and years of getting into that character, I bet there's times where he can't even tell where his personality ends and where Michael Jackson's. What if I told you that your job as a believer is to do such a job of like getting into Christ's character that you get to the point where you can't tell where you begin and where he begins and where you end and he, I mean, it's like, I can't tell anymore. And I know that this is a high aspiration. I know for some of you are like, but how could I? Let me just tell you, what's better than the Michael Jackson impersonation is that Jesus said, it's better that I bodily ascend and I go to heaven because I will send another, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, watch this, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Oh, it's almost as if instead, see, that man has a body that looks like Michael Jackson, but we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us that empowers my impression. Oh, you hear me preaching? So it's like when people are sitting next to me, it's like, I know he's just a man. I know it's just Mike Signorelli, but I felt the presence of Jehovah. I felt God next to me. Come on. So the aspiration of a Christian is to do our best, me may taste. Say that, me may taste. I'm doing my Jesus impression. That's why John the Baptist said, I decrease so that he increase. I have to be less like John and more like Jesus. Come on, I have to empty myself so that I can have a greater capacity to be more like him. Oh, I'm telling you. And that's why when Christians say, I'll pray for you. Oh, I'll pray about it. No, don't pray about it. Do a Jesus impression instead. You know what I'm trying to say? It's as if Jesus was on the subway, riding in that. It's as if Jesus was sitting in that school as a teenager. It's as if Jesus was walking onto that job. Greater he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's something about this revelation of me may taste. Are y'all receiving this? Just as a skilled actor. So watch, a skilled actor can get into character, but an unskilled actor, it's not believable. So what God wants to do is he wants you to begin to increase in your ability to wholeheartedly reflect who God is, and that takes time. Just like an actor that trains to have the accent of a character they're playing, they have to go through training in their voice. They have to go through training in their mannerisms. If you're gonna play Muhammad Ali, you have to talk like Muhammad Ali. And it takes time to get into character. It takes time to get into the character of Christ. It's a journey we go on. You know, the other day, Bree was at my house. She's on our staff, and we were having a big staff meeting. And Bree, you know, you got to watch out because Bree sounds like a Floridian. She sounds like she's from Florida, but when she gets mad, she sounds like a Long Islander. So we were at the house the other day, and we were all talking as a staff, and she got real passionate, and all of a sudden, she switched into her other, you know, vernacular, and she's like, you just got to go down the road and this, and, you know, she's little, so she's getting all excited. And she, yeah, that's her that you can hear. Yeah, you just go down the road. And as she was saying it, I started laughing. She's like, Pastor Mike, what's funny? I was like, listen, whenever you get married, I said, your husband's never going to be mad at you because when you start that Long Island angry thing, it's just funny. And we were joking and laughing, but it's like, here's the thing. What happens is she speaks like a Floridian until she gets passionate. And so some of us, we sound like Christ until we get offended. Me may taste. I mean, we sound like Jesus until we get our feelings hurt. And sometimes when we're learning how to play the part of Jesus, we can distort different aspects of it. Like we know in scripture, it says Jesus wept, but you're crying too much. We know that Jesus clapped back sometimes because he flipped the tables, but you clap back at people that you should be forgiving like Jesus. So sometimes our impression is a little distorted and we get an aspect of it right, but we do the dosage wrong and we're crying too much because, yeah, Jesus cried, but he wasn't crying all the time. Oh, Jesus clapped back, but he wasn't clapping back at everybody. So sometimes it's our impression that needs work. And so it's not the stage that's the problem. This is what Paul was saying. Follow me as I follow Christ. Just like an actor that would go to a stage, we need men and women of God to get on a stage. But the question is not whether or not they're on the stage. It's who they're emulating while they're on it. So if I get up on this stage and do my best Stephen Furtick impression, then you might as well go to Elevation Church and follow the real thing. If I get up on this stage and do my best Paul Washer impression or my best, you know, you name it, John Piper impression this morning, you might as well go follow the real thing. But the burden on this stage is I'm doing the best impression of Jesus Christ, which breaks covetousness because I don't want what Furtick has. I don't want what Piper has. I don't want what I want what Jesus has for me. So it breaks jealousy and competition and envy if we're all trying to play the same character. Because then it's like, wow, Chris, you do a better Jesus impression in the area of your appetite because you got free in addiction. Can you teach me how to do that? Oh, you know what I'm saying? So when you're interacting with people, you're like, wow, you got another revelation of Jesus and I need to borrow from you. And I think if we all get around each other, the impression gets better. And that's why you increase in humility when you increase in your ability to mimetes, because if anybody says that they see anything good in you, you know it's just an impression of the one who's only good. Oh, you're complimenting. It's like complimenting the Michael Jackson impersonator. You're actually complimenting Michael Jackson. So even when you're a Christian and somebody oh, you're such a good preacher. Yeah, but the preacher of all preachers lives on the inside of me. It's Jesus. You just complimented the gift giver. You see what I'm saying? So pride doesn't make sense when you're doing a Jesus imitation. Arrogance doesn't make sense when you're doing a Jesus imitation because the glory goes to the one you're pretending to be. And you know the thing about being an actor is the longer you do it, the more you become it. And what starts as an impression will turn into an identity. Did you catch that? What starts as an impression will turn into an identity. See, this might be your posture because you were discipled by depression. And you might want to walk with your head down low. But what starts as an impression, it ends up being your identity. I'm gonna hold myself like Christ. See, there's something, are you feeling this? There's something about this that God is trying to install in you through this sermon, mimetes. Okay, Paul doesn't stop there. He begins Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And one translation, remember, this is coming full circle. He says, be ye therefore. Say this phrase with me. Be ye therefore. So let's say it again one more time. Be ye therefore imitators of Christ. Now let's put it all together because this phrase is derived from a Greek word, ginomai. Everybody say ginomai. See, you just learned two Greek words. I told you were going to be a scholar. Ginomai. And it signifies, this is what it means, an ongoing process of becoming. And the way that they used to use the word ginomai is they would talk about birth because birth is not instant, it's a process. The water is broken. Then the baby begins to move down the canal and then the contractions intensify. Oh, and I have never felt one, but I've been a witness to one. It's intense. And so genomai is like a birthing process. What if I told you that the pain that you feel in your life is you becoming more like Christ? It's the intensity of the pain is like a birth of a new you. And you know, listen, there's somebody listening and watching this right now that you have family members that are like, who are you going to that church, raising your hands? I see you with your Bible. I remember when we smoked. I remember when we drank. I remember when you were sleeping around. Who are you to act like that? You know what you tell them? I'm acting like Jesus. I am playing the part of my Savior. And my impression might not be that good yet, but I am not who I used to be, and I'm becoming more like Him. Check back. Oh, I feel the power of God. Check back with me in a few years and see how my impression of Jesus is now. I'm working some things through my life. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that should comfort all of you that say, who am I to worship like that? Who am I to act like that? I'll tell you who you are. You are getting better at your impression of Jesus. And if you don't leave this gathering, if you don't leave this process of sanctification, baby, 5 years from now, you're going to sound a lot more like Jesus than you do now. And that's why, watch this, Paul says, be ye therefore imitators. He said, go, okay, let's put the whole thing together. Go through the process of continually being transformed and molded into the character of Jesus as if you were a skilled actor wearing a costume and learning how to play the part of your Savior. Does that not blow your mind? That's your destiny. Would you stand to your feet with me? Your impression of God is not accurate yet, but it's becoming more accurate every day you decide not to give up. It's becoming more believable. And one day, you're gonna open your eyes and you're gonna say, those things I struggle with, I don't struggle with them anymore. Those things that worry me don't worry me anymore. See, watch this. When you're doing an impression of Jesus and you open your Chase mobile app, how does He feel about what He sees? Do a Jesus impression with your finances. When you're on the job and you don't want to be there, remember Jesus was faithful in Bethlehem as a carpenter before He became the Savior. So go to work like Jesus. Y'all know that, right? So it's like whatever you're doing, do it as if you're Jesus and be conformed into the image of Christ and get better at that impression. Because every once in a while, that Italian side will come out and you'll be like, oh, that wasn't Jesus, that was Sicily. That wasn't Jesus, that was the Irish. That wasn't Jesus, that was the Jamaican. That wasn't you, whatever it is, because guess what? Here's a revelation I want to end on because I want to pray for you in a few moments. Every single one of us have heritages, lineages, ancestry. Let me tell you a secret. I've been all around the world. Literally my feet have touched so many nations. And I'll tell you, here's what I noticed. Every single one of us are born into an impression of our ancestors. Some of you are doing an impression of an ancestor you've never even met because it's in you. It's in your DNA. Some of you are doing impressions of your mother and grandmother, your father, your grandmother. Some of you are doing an impression of an alcoholic like those that came before you. You're doing an impression of a cheater because of those who cheated before you. You're doing an impression of those. And you know what I noticed too? Is that there's a lot of inconsistency. No one in your family was faithful. They didn't root down and say, I'm going to keep my roots. And so what happens is you're doing an impression of a vagabond, of a wanderer. And you don't even know that. Oh, my family immigrated. Yeah, did they do that or did they escape? Because sometimes when you're caught in a cycle of thinking that changing my geography is going to change my mind, and then you end up in a new place with the same mindset, it's like new geography, new address, same mind. How are you going to escape your own skull? I'll tell you how. Watch. Exchange it for the mind of Christ. See, doesn't this make more sense now? You're learning to play a part. You're a skilled actor. And some of you are like, well, I don't feel like it's genuine. Make it genuine. Do it until it's second nature. Do it until second nature becomes first nature. Are you picking up on this? Are you picking up on this? So good. So good. Now watch. Okay, now that I got you all the way through two verses in chapter 5, that was just two verses. And we're gonna, I just need you for another 3 hours, okay? So stay standing. Whoever said that's fine, make them a deacon right now. Ephesians chapter 3 says this, watch. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this. Watch. It's crazy when you think about it, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, remember that word, wanting what other people have, in other words, on Instagram all day, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So here's what God wants you to understand. Because it would, if you just read this chapter and you just read scriptures 1 and 2 and then verses 3 onward, you would think, oh, I get it. This is religion. This is legalism. Oh, I get it. Don't be sexually impure. Don't talk however I want. Do this. And you would read it as rules and regulations. But instead, what you now understand is if he uses the word mimetes and he's trying to prepare a whole bunch of people to now begin to act like this character Jesus, what he's actually saying is, hey, Jesus was not sexually impure. And so if you're going to play that part, don't do that thing. It would be out of place. You would be doing a bad impression if you have filthy language and if you're talking and cursing with your tongue, because Jesus doesn't talk that way. It's not about legalism. It's about mimicking so that other people can get a revelation of who he is. So that when they encounter you, you are the only Bible that they read, because they see your life and they know Christ through it. People say it's dark in New York City. I say the light of Christ shines brighter in the darkness. But what is the light of Christ? You. Did you know that? Did you know that the wrath of God is restrained because righteousness is here? In the old covenant, he would go to destroy a place and say, if there's one righteous, I won't destroy it. So the light of Christ requires your life to be the candlestick. Does this make sense? Let them see your good works. And so the light of Christ shines through it. It's irrevocable what I'm saying. It's irrevocable. But watch this last one. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Somebody say them. You shouldn't be partners with, you could be friends with everybody. You don't have to be partners with everybody. You know how you determine who you're friendly with and who you're an acquaintance with versus who you're a partner with? You want me to tell you? What impression are they doing? An impression of their father, Satan, or their impression of their father, Jesus? Because Jesus said you're either a son of disobedience, a son of Satan, or a son of God. So which impression are they? Hey, if you're doing an impression of Jesus, let's get together and do Jesus impressions. You want to do an impression of the devil? I'm not interested in being discipled by the devil. See what I'm saying? It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Children are impressionable. Children do impressions. So walk as children of the light. In other words, we're always trying to emulate the light, which is Christ. Does this make sense? And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Stop trying to do an impression of a Jesus who lets people live however they want. Jesus doesn't only give a yes. The true Jesus will also give a no. The true Jesus doesn't just say, come here and give Papa a hug. Sometimes he says, go sell everything because it's idolatrous and then come back to follow me. Jesus held a standard, and this frou-frou Jesus that you try to imitate that just says, well, God is love. Yes, but love comes in the form of a no as well. And sometimes you'll bring people to church and I'll preach a sermon that's doing a pretty good impression of the real Jesus, but you're doing an impression of a guy named Kevin with blonde hair and blue eyes in your grandma's house in that picture. White Jesus that loves everybody, but love is also a no. Love is a no. Love is no, you can't do that with your sexuality. No, you can't do that with your identity. No, you can't. It's a form of love. The proof of my love for my girls is not just what I let them do, it's what I don't let them do. And so do you serve Kevin White Jesus? Or do you serve, I promise you I'm gonna start selling Kevin pictures on my website. That's how we're gonna support the ministry. Or do you serve, by the way, I've been to the Middle East, nobody looks like that guy. But are you serving the Jesus that walked the Galilee and he held a standard and said, this is not my standard, it's the standard of my Father. And by the way, I know you can't even reach the standard, but I'm gonna die on the cross and empower you to be more than overcomers. So I'm not gonna tell you what not to do, I'm gonna give you power to resist it. You feel that? You feel that? Now, this is the last portion. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Y'all, that's right there. Why do you think the Apostle Paul had to tell these women, submit to your own husband? Could it be that they were submitted to their boss more than their husband? Could it be that they submitted to people in leadership at the church but didn't submit to their own husband? Man, it got real quiet in here, Julie. It got real quiet. Submit to me, girl. See, I got you guys. Some man's like, yeah, this is our church, honey. We will be back. We will start serving next week. We will be serving on the dream team. I just joined a Connect group. So he says, wives, submit to your own husbands. As to the Lord, watch this, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And then husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Here's how I want to end this message. Very simple. For years, I would read the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and it felt like the Apostle Paul was all over the place. In one chapter, I'm like, this guy's talking about sexual impurity. He's talking about the way you talk and the filthiness of jokes and all that. Then he's talking about marriage at the end. He's just machine gunning this Ephesian congregation with all kinds of don't do this, don't do that. Finally, I'm telling you, when I went deep into my studies, I understood it. Once you get the revelation of what the first and second verse mean, you realize that what he's saying is in every area of your life, you better be doing an imitation of Jesus. Watch, Jesus actually said, I don't do my will, I'm submitted to the Father. And so what he's saying is, wives, be submitted to your husbands, even in the way that Christ demonstrated his submission to God. But then husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church, because then Jesus even said, this is how I love you. It's all about being an imitator of Christ. And when you imitate Christ, your marriage will be healthy, your finances will be healthy, the way you talk will be healthy, it will infiltrate your sexuality. You, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But that indeed is connected to how well you do your interpretation of his character in that area. So some of you are saying, well, Pastor Mike, I get what you're saying, but Jesus was never married. So how do I do an impersonation of Jesus? Jesus was never married. Are you kidding me? Have you read your Bible? Jesus married you. Amen. Jesus married you. He covenanted to you. You are the bride of Christ. And while you're out there, even in seasons of your life, being a whore and going back to the world, every time you came to him, he loved you. He forgave you. He embraced you. He received you. He's the best spouse you could ever have. He married you. While we were yet sinners, he put his love out on the line, drew himself to us, married us. And even when we cheat on him, he's faithful to forgive us. Oh, he's a good, good spouse. He married us. Oh, I feel the power of God. So that will make you a good spouse. When you look at your husband, you look at your wife, and you start saying the F word with passion. I forgive you. And then your spouse says, no, I forgive you. Because I'm doing my Jesus impression. No, I'm going to be like Jesus. I forgive you. And everybody in the marriage is saying the F word as loud as they can to each other. I forgive you and I forgive you. There's something about this Jesus impression that's good for your soul. It's hard being you. But watch this, watch. But Jesus says, take my burden. It's light. See, you playing the character called you is very hard. But being like Jesus, you carry the favor of the Father. You carry, oh, I feel the anointing. He says, take my burden. My burden is light. You being used hard, but you being me, I've given you power. Woo, come on. Oh, Mike Signorelli can't conquer New York City, but Jesus in me is well able. Want me to give you a sneak preview to Ephesians chapter 6 that's coming next week? You want me to give you a sneak preview? Because remember I told you if you stay through this series, it'll blow your mind. Okay, Ephesians 6 talks about the full armor of God. Remember, mimetes. When you're playing a character, you wear a costume, right? So put on the full armor of God. But here's where it gets even better. But here's the thing, you are playing the part of a soldier, but actually he won it all. So here's the good news. The good news is the breastplate of righteousness you didn't earn for yourself, it was given to you. It's a costume that was awarded to you by the one who won it all. Take heart, for he has conquered the world. So even the full armor of God, as he's saying, act like a soldier, but just know that I already won it all. Come on, it's a good message. So you are going to ginomai while you mimetes. Capiche? Come on, I preach in four languages today and I spoke in the tongues of angels. And then you were mean to me in Long Island. Guys, I want to pray for you as we come to a close. Because this is, you are not going to be trapped in a bad impression of those who came before you. See, I was trapped in an impression on my mother's side of addiction. I was trapped in an impression on my father's side of divorce. But God freed me from that, said, you're gonna do an impression of my son, Jesus. And listen, I don't care if any of you even ever remember my name, but the name of Jesus is forever. Just like that Michael Jackson impersonator, I don't care if you ever even know what my name is, but I pray when you see me, you see Jesus. That's all that matters. I'm an impersonator. I hope you see Jesus. And wherever you don't, you check back in with me and you come back in a few years because we're going, watch now, it makes more sense. From glory to glory to glory. See, doesn't it all start making sense? I'm getting better at being like the one who called me. Oh, come on. I feel the power of God. Would you just lift your hands and let me pray for you right now? Because I feel a grace that's rushing through every single campus, every single location. When you lifted up your hands, your Father Jesus, he lifted up his hands when he was walking the physical earth. And he lifted his hand and said, God, I trust you. So even when you surrender, you're becoming like Jesus who surrendered to the will of the Father. another. See, you're becoming more like him. So I pray over our congregation right now. I break and release them from the patterns of their ancestry, and I call forth their true destiny right now. And I thank you, Father, that they are being released from those patterns and cycles. I hear the Lord saying, I am breaking cycles, and you will become more like me in this next season. I want to take 20 seconds, and I want us to worship across every location right now and just begin to release our voices to the Lord. Come on, just one more time.